would always like to point out extra heaven points for all those who weathered and came out here in the freezing cold. So double heaven points for everyone tonight. We need it, right? We need it. We need it. All right, my name is Matthew, and I'm a very grateful overcomer. Hello, everybody. All right, can my lovely assistants go ahead and pass out the bulletins, Bibles, pins? If you do not have a bulletin, Bible, or pin, please raise your hand so you can have one of those, because I do have some fill-in-the-blanks for tonight. It's a very simple message. One thing, real quick announcement, as you've already probably heard, we have, Shay on Thursday signed an addendum to our contract with United Methodist Church that we can now have food and drink inside the sanctuary. Finally! So now we just need to keep working on getting vaping, right? We'll be right where we're left off. But no. But food and drink, we have coffee outside, just as Teresa said. Smell it first. Take small sips. It's pretty strong. Thank you. So yes, food and drink are now allowed in the sanctuary, but of course, like we always kind of have that joke. It's not a meeting until somebody drops a coin. It's not church until somebody spills a cup of coffee. Please do not. Be careful. I'm not jinxing it. It isn't church without it. We have buckets, we have mops, and all that great stuff, so we'll take care of it. Just be careful, please. All right, everybody got everything they need. So as you can see from the title of the sermon tonight behind me, it is so great to be able to actually look up and see, the slides and stuff. Yeah. It is really nice. Weathering the storm. Okay, well, what are you talking about, Matthew? For years now, it seems like we are just struggling in these circumstances of, as what Shay said last week, the C word. Yes, I am talking about COVID. There's everything that has been going on, it seems like the end of 2019, 2020, 2021. Now here we are, 2022, trying to start a new year on the right foot, and we are still struggling and trudging through this storm, right? I have an analogy with that. So for tonight's message, I'm going to be bringing, it'll be from Mark chapter 4. So if you want to turn to Mark chapter 4, it's in your notes there, it's page 685. Jesus calms the storm. Jesus calms the storm. Sorry. I'm glad somebody likes it. Alrighty. So we're beginning this new year already in the midst of negativity, right? In the midst of the storm that is out of our control. We are powerless over what's going on as Omicron is transforming and continuing to present these new variants to the world, and it is causing so much grief and fear and heartache as it is continuing to just wreak havoc on society. So I want to first pick up, as Jesus calms the storm, chapter 4, verse 35, as I'm getting to it. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, that's Jesus talking, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. So Jesus tells his disciples, let's go ahead and go over through the Sea of Galilee and go to the other side. There's a point. There's a goal. There's a mission at hand as Jesus is going to continue to spread the word as the disciples follow him. And it's not just a boat. It's a bunch of boats, right? Not just one, just a bunch of them. They found themselves caught in a storm by being in the will of God. Reminder, Jesus was with them amidst this storm. Just because you're in the will of God does not mean that you will have tough, negative circumstances to face. Follow Jesus and everything will be perfect. Sunshine and rainbows. I know that I have felt tested and felt attacked even being 7 years sober. And now, in the current circumstance that I'm in right now, being the assistant pastor of Serenity Church, I still feel attacked. I still feel the circumstances surrounding me, getting at me, poking at me, and just causing grief, heartache, stress, even fear of what's to come. So as we are talking about these, what are they called? So your first fill in the blank, it's our external storm, right? Our external circumstances in life. So in the Greek term, what they were dealing with is called lilaps, right? So I had to actually look that up. Gale force winds, it's almost as if it was just a hurricane, right? So they're on the Sea of Galilee, and this huge storm, like a hurricane, came upon them out of nowhere. As you can imagine, I mean, I've been through a hurricane, which was a just dropped from a 3 to a 2, and Hurricane Claudette in Goliad, where I was still in high school. And it was pretty terrifying, but I was in a brick home. I was safe. Didn't have power for 7 days, but I was at least protected. Here, what they're dealing with, they're on a boat, a ship, with waves crashing over the bow, wind and rain. They're probably bailing out water with buckets as fast as they possibly can, and they're scared. They're fearful of what is happening because they are in a storm. So as I said, Jesus is there, right? What is Jesus doing? Verse 38 says, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Jesus was asleep. He was resting. So when he's resting on a cushion, means he had his pillow, right? He was intentionally taking a nap. He probably already foresaw what was going to happen. The storm was going to come, but he said, you know what? It's a long trip. I'm going to go ahead and take a nap, so that way I'm all rested. I'm going to intentionally go to sleep, knowing that this was about to happen. The disciples woke him up and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we drown? They're scared. They're fearful of the circumstances surrounding them, the wind and the rain, that they are going to die. They are going to die. Your second fill in the blank. It's your emotional storm. Your emotional storm. What they were feeling. Afraid, anxiety, potential death. As we can get emotionally caught up because of the external circumstances surrounding us, we can get fearful. We can get stressed. We don't know what's to come. How are we going to make it through this? I love that song that Jonah and the band were playing, you know, before Champion. When we get down on our knees, this is how we fight, right? If we get fight, when I fight, I'm going to fight on my knees. So what does Jesus say to them? We're going to jump a little bit. So he goes up in verse 39. He says, I got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, be quiet, be still. The wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Do you have no faith? While Jesus was there, getting tossed around and about through this physical stress, the emotional turmoil, it's like the tripod. When we're physically sick, we become emotionally unwell. When we're emotionally unwell, we can tendency have a problem of getting spiritually unwell. Your third fill in the blank. The spiritual storm. Because of their fear, they were losing their faith. Amen. And Jesus called them out on it. Called them out. And I'm sitting here napping, you wake me up, you don't know what's going on. Why are you afraid? You have no faith. He knew exactly what the tent was. He knew what was going to happen. And what did he say previously? Let us go over to the other side. Jesus didn't say, let's go over in the Sea of Galilee, get halfway and drown. Jesus said you weren't going to have external circumstances to deal with as we are heading over to the other side. He said, we're going to go over to the other side. He knew what was going to happen, when it was going to happen, but he knew that we will get there. So when we're dealing with the physical, the external storm, which causes the emotional storm, and we tend to spiritually lose our faith through the spiritual storm and things, we got to be reminded that Jesus already has a plan for us. He already has said, we are going over to the other side, so why are you afraid? Ye of little faith. Amen. He intentionally went to sleep because he knew what was going to happen. He intentionally called them out because of their little faith. Jesus asked them that. It's that rhetorical question. Do you not see what is going to happen? Did you not understand? Just by like a snap of his finger, he calmed the storm. The waves stopped. There was no more wind. It was peace. He's as if he was telling peace to stop moving. He was as if he knew that there was so much noise, so much clamor, so much that was going on through the external circumstances that he had to shut everything down. Amen. Quiet. And by him doing that, they saw what happened, and then they believed, almost, who he was. Almost. When you are in the will of God, no matter what is going on around you, you are in the safest place. Amen. You're still in the safest place. No matter what your external circumstances are, no matter what you're going through emotionally, you're still in the safest place when you're in the will of God. We are going to make it, but we're going to have some trials and tribulations. He calls them timid because they forgot his word because how big their circumstances became. He calls them timid because they forgot his word because how big the circumstances became. When that happens, even I'll admit, when my circumstances are so overwhelming, I can definitely spiral a little bit. But I have to remind myself that I have to fight on my knees. I have to continue to have faith that Jesus is going to make get me through the other side, that light at the end of the tunnel. So don't get me wrong, I am not undermining the circumstances we are currently facing. People are at risk. Loved ones are getting ill. We all have someone that we've lost. If you are living your life in the will of God, then this is an opportunity to see God on another level. Amen. Increase your faith. Increase your understanding. Get in the Word. And see that no matter what my external circumstances is, I'm going to make it to the other side. He asks his disciples, after the storm is gone, do you still have no faith, right? So I feel that this purpose of this C word, COVID, I'm going to call it what it is, the purpose of COVID, no matter what we're dealing with, he's still in charge. He is still in charge. And I feel God is seeking our undivided attention. To look to him for the guiding light to get us through to the other side. The passage concludes in verse 41. It says, they were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. They were just astonished at what he was able to do. They just couldn't believe that one man had the power to go, peace, be still, and everything was quiet, and everything was calm. Because he had the power to do that. He had to show them the circumstances that you're dealing with. If you call to me and you ask me, I will snap my fingers and you will see it. You will see the miracle. You will be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but you have to have faith. Don't forget to have faith in the circumstances. Sometimes we are afraid of the wrong thing. We stop fearing God and start fearing stuff. We fear the circumstances rather than fearing God. I ask that you join me in fearing God. We will remain vigilant during our circumstances, but we must remember to put God first in our lives. And I think people have a little misconception of what fearing God means. Fear God. It's not fear the judgment, fear the wrath, fear that if you walk into a church, you're going to get struck by lightning, but the punishment. He's not the executioner that he had this bad rap for. When we say fear God, we should be fearing disappointing him. Fear the disappointment when we fall short, when we know we fall short. And it's not that fear that he's going to do harm to us. He knows that we're going to fall short. He knows that we are not perfect because we're just human beings. And sometimes we choose to walk out from underneath that umbrella and we realize that storm sucks. So let me step back in by fearing the circumstances, fearing of disappointing him, and step back on his protection and safety and being in his will. I love the saying, and I've said it many times, God does not make skilled sailors in calm waters.
There you go.
You have to be able to persevere through the storm because that builds your faith. By building your faith, you are able to continue to have people alongside you, right? As we come to church with me, even what you've done, no matter what you've done, it doesn't matter. Come to church with me. Sit by my side. I've sailed these waters. I know what's going to happen. I know how to get to the other side. Come get in my boat, and we're going, because we're going to make it. We're going to make it to the other side. When I was preaching Elijah, and this is another point where I can see it. I can see this in your next fill in the blank right here. The purpose of prophets. The purpose of prophets. A spiritual decline in the world, and God is intentionally using the circumstances that we are facing in this storm to seek our undivided attention. He sent people to his land, to Israel, to bring Israel back to righteousness. Not because the people were righteous, but because he's righteous and he wanted his people to become righteous. When we continue to live an unrighteous life, we are in the storm. And he's calling us to be disciples, to be the people to spread his word, to get them through the other side. So the purpose of prophets, I think, is that when the spiritual decline in the world, and God is intentionally using these people to show them the light, to show them how to get to the other side of the storm, to lift the land back up, to lift his people back up. You know, there's a problem. I want you to live, I got it written down in the notes, but you don't have to fill in the blank on this one. I believe there's a problem in the world today. Pretty big problem. Either we're not in God's will, or we are not approaching our storms the right way. We're not approaching the storms the right way. Because sometimes we have to learn the hard way and how to get through the storm. As John always said, just once in my life, I would like to learn a life lesson painlessly. Well, those painful moments that we are learning is because we're in the storm. If we continue to approach our circumstances by cowering or trying to find, you know, something to cover the wind as we run from his umbrella, we're not going to learn. We're going to learn the hard way, right? We're going to learn the hard way. We're not going to be under his protection. We're not going to be in his will when we're trying to fight the storm on our own. I just mentally thought of Forrest Gump. Captain Dan sitting on top of the, you know, the tower. Is ripping God a new one. You know, he was out there trying to fight the storm himself. He was trying to fight the storm himself. That wasn't going to work. He had to learn the hard way. I just thought of that. That was funny. So we're not approaching the storm the right way. So as we read the Bible and as we learn, we try to be like Jesus, try to live like Jesus, try to be good people, love our neighbor, love God with all our heart, our mind, our body. But he's leading us by a good model right here. As they are going to the storm, not knowingly, grabbing his pillow, and not concerned with the circumstances. So as we are dealing with our problems of 2022, and we are trudging the storm, I'm going to try to follow Jesus' example. I'm going to grab my pillow, go for the ride, and not worry about all this, because I know I trust in God. And I'm going to get to the other side, one way or the other. I'm going to rest in his truth, because God has a plan. He has a purpose. We may not see why. We may never see why God has given us those external circumstances until we get through it. We have a worldwide problem, and what we need is a worldwide God, right? As Trina always says, you're dealing with a little itty-bitty God, right? I got me a big old God with a big old world problem, so we have to have a big old God to take care of a worldwide problem. He will show us his will if we trust him to get through the storm, whether the storm in your life or no matter what you're dealing with. God said it wasn't going to be easy, but he did give us a purpose. He did give us a purpose. And I want to go ahead and invite the band back up, because I want to leave you with one more thing real quick. It's a little story. So there was this boy and his grandmother, and as they were getting on this plane to go back home, they got on their plane, they got in their seats, and the boy's sitting over here next to the window, and the grandmother's sitting in the middle. The plane takes off, of course, after some sort of delay. They take off, and they're just cruising along at altitude, and all of a sudden, the turbulence starts, and the plane gets a little shaky. The boy's sitting there playing with his toys, and the grandmother's sitting, oh, and the plane calms down. Then it gets a little bit worse. The plane starts shaking around and bouncing up and down, and she's just, oh, it's going out, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, and just praying and praying and praying. And she looks to her little boy, little grandson, and he's just sitting there playing with this toy, happy and just having a good time. She gets a little muffed, a little ticked off, you know. She's over here scared, just, oh my God, we're gonna crash, we're gonna crash, we're gonna crash. And the boy's just sitting there playing. She looks at him and she's like, what's wrong with you? Are you not scared? Little boy looks up at his grandma and says, Grandma, do you not know that your son, my daddy, is the pilot? We know who's flying the plane. So when we are scared under the turbulence, we have to remember who's the one piloting the plane. I sure as heck ain't. I don't trust Pete to fly the plane. God's flying the plane. So when we go through those bumps, remain calm. God's in charge. And as we close tonight, God, please show us the next step. Lord, please provide us what is next. Please get us ready for what is next. And Lord, please bless our neighbor as you have blessed each and every single one of us. In your name we pray.